You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joined us a little earlier in the show. Be up on podcast. I'm sure it'll be getting sprinkled in on the other shows throughout the day today, including this one. Right now, let's take a listen to Nick Caserio. Seth asked Nick towards the end of the interview about the possibility of Deshaun Watson returning to the Texans.
It's a good question. You know, I think, you know, there's been some commentary and, you know, that more than likely would not be the case. But I think, to your point, again, like you mentioned, I think we just have to be open-minded and just take the information and process it and ultimately make the decision, you know, that we feel makes the most sense for everybody involved, whatever that looks like.
Is there any – look, I wasn't expecting Nick to give a hard yes or no on that question, Seth. Is there any – I'm just trying to play the poker game here. Is there any sort of element of the posturing to try to get the most for Deshaun where Nick needs to give an answer that is not definitive one way or the other? Or anybody trading for Deshaun is going to know how Deshaun feels about the Texans because he'll just talk to David Mulligetta or read the tea leaves and know that Deshaun doesn't want to be here, that kind of thing. If that's the case, if indeed that's the case. I mean, the answer was slightly open-ended, but I'm just trying to kind of play in my head here. Like, is there a reason, is there a trade reason to give the answer that he gave, or is that just the, you know, is that just the pat answer? Right,
I think that's probably a not wanting to paint yourself into a corner. Yeah. If I try to put myself in that situation, if somebody asked me that question, in my mind, I might think like, yeah, there's no way in hell he's coming back here. But you like, everything can change all the time, and who knows what exactly happens. Not to mention the fact that in any criminal investigation or lawsuit, there's information we don't have, perhaps, that later gets divulged. I don't think he wants to paint himself into a corner and give an absolute position on whether Deshaun would or would not come. And I asked that question not expecting him, nor do I think he should give a resolute, firm answer on that one. But just in case there was some movement or something, or that maybe they just did want to put it out there that, oh yeah, we're trading Deshaun no matter what, that we gave him that opportunity.
The mere acknowledgement of of which way the wind is blowing in the whole thing, you know, that the reports that he likely won't be back here, the mere acknowledgement of that is more detail than Nick has given in the past on Deshaun Watson questions. You know, it's been just not an acknowledgement really of anything that's going on other than there is something going on.
Think about where we were a year ago. And that's why, even though the Deshaun Watson situation is still a horrible situation for multiple reasons, both in and out of football, obviously, it's still somehow against what your expectations would be. It's still somehow better right now than it was a year ago because you have some level of clarity. And remember, a year ago, we didn't even know about the assault allegations. That hadn't even come out yet. So I think but there was such extreme uncertainty. I'm guessing perhaps in league circles there were whispers or something. Maybe more was known than we publicly knew. But I think right now, a guy that's looking at the Texans can come in and say, okay, I know what the worst case scenario is. The worst case scenario is that Deshaun Watson isn't available, maybe ever, and you never get any compensation for him. What do the Texans look like if you never get any compensation for Deshaun Watson? I think you could say that they're going to be in a good cap position moving forward. Especially when Deshaun's salary comes off the books, they'll be in a really good cap position.
Yeah.
They've got a high draft pick this year. They haven't traded away all their future picks like the Texans had in the past. You know, any coach looking at this team last year was looking at a team that not only had a quarterback requesting a trade, but that also didn't have a first or a second round pick.
That's right.
And was in a miserable cap situation.
Yep.
So like all those things are better right now than they were a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Nick, how do you think Nick is processing the reports that Miami is out on Deshaun Watson? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the Houston Texans?
I don't think he's having to rely on reports, for one. So
okay.
I think if
the reports are true and Nick has heard that the Dolphins are out on Deshaun.
Look, this is where I am, and this isn't me like crying about fake news or anything like that. I think there's something going on in the NFL news breaking world right now where I can't recall seeing this many heavy hitters diametrically opposed to themselves in some of their takes. Like Adam Schefter's usually money. Remember, he was the first one to report that Culley only had $8 million guaranteed on his contract, whereas other people accurately, according to what we've heard, reported that no, Culley had 20, including Culley himself, said that he had $22 million guaranteed on his contract.
Yes.
There's a report that, no, Stephen Ross isn't the one that wanted Deshaun. It was always the coach.
Brian Flores, yeah.
And not the owner. Whereas Mike Florio claims that, no, Ross always wanted Deshaun Watson, and that hasn't changed. So I don't know. I do know that Caserio probably knows, and Caserio probably knows whether Ross is still super interested or not.
Yeah, no, okay, so let's, regardless of where the report came from, just looking at the Deshaun landscape, do you think that, given how Deshaun wants to go to Miami, like if Miami bails, is that a good thing for the Texans, do you think, in Caserio's eyes? That Deshaun's going to have to open things up a little bit here?
It is. I wonder, though, too. I mean, if it's true that Deshaun were only interested in Miami because he really liked Brian Flores, and that's why also Miami wouldn't be in on it, that would mean that Miami doesn't want Deshaun, and then Deshaun also doesn't want Miami if all he wants is Flores. You've traded one set of problems for another, because now you still have Deshaun only wanting to go to one place.
Right.
But it also happens, it's just wherever Brian, we don't know where that place is yet, but it's only one place.
Yeah.
Brian Flores cannot be in three places at the same time.
So
you've traded a situation where Deshaun only wanted to be Miami, and that hurt his trade value, to now, like, oh, Deshaun only wants to be one place, and even Deshaun doesn't know where that is yet.
Is it as simple for Nick Caserio, if he were stacking the most desirable teams to make a Deshaun Watson trade with, put Deshaun's no trade clause aside for a second and have hope that you can sell Deshaun on going to the place that you want to make the deal with. Seth, is it as simple as just opening up tankathon.com and opening up the draft order and just running your finger, starting at the top of the page and running your finger down and stopping at each team that could theoretically trade for Deshaun Watson? Like, okay, let's see, Detroit, no, Houston, no. Ah, the Giants, 5 and 7. Oh, yes, the Giants, that would be good. Carolina, 6, we like that one as well. Atlanta, 8, Denver, 9. Like, is it as simple putting your pecking order together, just looking at the first round of this draft, and the higher the pick, knowing that there will be other stuff as well to come with it, but to me, the key asset is whatever first round pick you get in this draft.
Yeah.
Is it as simple? I mean, the Giants are a no-brainer because they've got two of those picks.
I don't know if it's as simple as that, because I don't think Caserio looks at draft picks with that degree of simplicity. I think that this might end up being a really complex trade, just because, as we've discussed so many times, it's really hard to envision any team paying exactly what Deshaun Watson is actually worth.
Sure.
Because it's just not possible to field a football team around a guy. If you were to trade for a true and genuine franchise caliber quarterback, I think some teams would think, yeah, it's probably worth 6 first round picks. But we can't do that. We won't be able to field a right, you know, we just can't do that. So it's going to have to become a combination of draft picks, perhaps current players that get traded, future draft picks. Maybe you try to sneak in a little bit of buying some salary cap one way or another, you know, the way the Texans did with the Browns did with Brock Osweiler.
Mm-hmm.
So, or no, the Browns bought a draft pick, basically.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Can we sign? Is David Johnson? David Johnson's officially a free
agent.
He's
a free agent.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, he's
right.
A free agent.
We could still franchise tag him, Sean. That's
O'Brien. Hey. O'Brien totally would have.
Hey, I feel like people were happy with the Nick Caserio interview this morning because I think he kind of gave some frank and honest and open answers. He could undo all of that very quickly by announcing
that David Johnson's back.
David Johnson with a top five running back contract this offseason.
Okay, text message. Do you think the Texans can ever have an alpha coach with a GM that is meddling so much? I doubt it. I don't know the answer of how an alpha coach would mesh. It depends on the coach. Depends on what you mean by meddling. This is specific to Caserio. I'm going to reiterate my point on this. Don't take Casario's role that he was playing with David Culley, where it seemed like he was in Culley's ear the whole game, giving input on decisions made on the field. Don't use that 1 year as some sort of assumption, because don't assume, right, Seth? As some sort of assumption that it's going to be that way with the next head coach. And I think that's what Nick Caserio has tried to get across, both in his press conference last Friday and with you and me earlier today. I will take him at face value on that he's going to get input from whoever he hires, and whatever that role is that he defines, it'll be a role that's amenable to all parties involved. He even used the word amenable in our interview with him today.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's I'm intrigued by the word meddling, because I'm curious, like, is there this dominant prevailing theme in the NFL that somehow GMs don't actually, like, get involved in things? I don't, that's the part I don't quite get. Now, and maybe the person asking the question didn't listen to the interview, because I feel like at the very least, if you want Nick Caserio's answer to that, he gave it to you. He just said that he explained exactly what he does on game day in the headset, and what it was with the Patriots, I think, is probably the more important thing to know, is that it's not decision-making type stuff. It's largely just kind of being of service to Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick or whomever else needed him, and he said it changed from year to year. So when you talk about meddling, I mean, that's what a GM does. They meddle with the salary cap.
Right.
They meddle with the roster. They meddle. It's only meddling with a negative connotation if you're in a situation where the head coach clearly has all the control and power.
Right.
And that's just not – it's not like the dominant relationship of the head coach in the NFL is that the head coach has all the power. That's more reserved usually for not guys like Bill O'Brien necessarily. But there are a lot of places where it's more give and take, and some the GM has more power, and others it's others. I mean, like the Bills. Brandon Bean's got final say on the 53-man roster, I believe. Or at least he did when they started out. Sean McDermott has the head coaching roles and duties. Brandon Bean is very much the GM. And is that meddling? No, that's just a normal GM-head coach relationship.
Yep. And it doesn't sound like both parties are going to be going in not knowing what the deal is. You know, as long as you're clear, like, this is how it's going to work, and we'll change it if it's not working, then I think that's perfectly acceptable. Will Nick Caserio be open to trading down from the third overall pick? He had alluded to it in other interviews. He answered it about as directly as you can answer it, and you will hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Good to be with you. Nick Caserio interview earlier today. We'll be up on our podcast, and the fellas in the loop, Clint Sterner in the show, they'll be sprinkling it in throughout the afternoon. Nick Caserio's best appearance to date with us. We've interviewed him, I don't know, probably about 10 times now, thereabouts.
Is it 10 times?
Maybe more. I feel like it's been once a month at least that we've interviewed him, right? I mean, except for maybe the in-between OTAs and training camp, we took a couple months off, but we've been during the season, it's been once a month, and during last offseason, it was once a month.
So I think I've got a new format for a podcast we should do, which is we interview people while riding around in the car with them with their kids in the back seat.
Because
I think you get a different version. So if we're talking about serious, like football, you know, serious football topics, because it's very serious, everybody. This is all very, very serious.
Hugely
but if we're talking about serious,
serious
sports topics, but with the GM or the coach's kids in the back, you're going to get a different version of that person.
Right.
Now you got to kind of get that fun, playful side that you have for your kids, but you also want your kids to think that what you do for work is fun.
Right. Now, we found out during the interview that Nick was driving his daughters to school because his wife's under the weather. So, you know what we need to do? We're going to play the answer to the question that I teased in here in a second, I promise. Nick Caserio on the third overall pick in the draft. But it was this answer that he had to stop, get out of the car, hand his daughters off to whoever the crossing guard was or whatever, and get back in the car and explain himself. Landry put these cuts together. He took that part out. Ben, we might need the uncensored version at some point. You know, not this second, Ben, but we might need to play the uncensored version of this that I think paints Nick Caserio in a very flattering light. The doting father over his daughters, dropping them off at school. It paints him, he's human, you know?
But I was also curious, like, if that person that was letting the kids out of the car were Texans fans, and I'm guessing they know who Nick Caserio is. Like,
yeah.
What little 10-second snippet did they hear that they could just run with without, you know, without having access to sports radio at the moment?
That's right. That's right. Well, we asked him the question that a lot of people have been wondering, because Nick Caserio has said, he's alluded to, unprompted, by the way, unsolicited, in his press conference last Friday and twice during Texans radio with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, kind of dropped hints that he is very open to moving down from number three. We asked him point blank, are you open for business at pick number three in the draft?
Absolutely. Always open for business. You never want to limit yourself. I've always been open-minded when it comes to the draft. I think every team and every individual has a different philosophy. We're not going to trade. We're always going to pick. We're not going to move. I think we're a little bit more, always have been open-minded, progressively thinking, move up and down. It's not just move to move. And I think trades specific to the draft are always driven by A, player availability, B, where are you moving, what are you moving away from, and then C, what are you getting in return in terms of asset that potentially could fill out the rest of your team. So we're rolling up our sleeves right now going through that draft process. I'd say there's a number of good players that will be available that we think will be available. But again, we're open for business on anything. I think that's the one thing about this organization, what people I'd say around the league know about me. They're not afraid, that we'll always listen and we'll always consider, and then we'll take the information in, process it, and ultimately try to make the decision that we feel is best for our team.
So there you go. Open for business, baby.
So the person opening the door, they probably would have heard, hey, we're open for business. We're listening to offers. They would have thought that maybe that they were, you know, he was trying to sell a boat or maybe something more scandalous than
maybe,
that.
Maybe
the person opening the door thought Nick was taking offers on another job or something.
Perhaps. I was enthusiastic about that answer.
Yeah.
Though.
I did think that what was interesting about that answer, and maybe he listed those three things that you're looking at in evaluating a trade. Maybe he didn't list them in any particular order. But he talked about availability, who's available, and then what are you moving to or from. But then third was the compensation. And I do find it interesting. I wonder if in his mind he kind of models that way. Like, wait a second. I don't even want to think about the compensation. until I evaluate, is this something that's actually good for the team?
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, we're all subject to this as human beings. You find out about a great deal on something you didn't even really need, but I can't afford not to buy that thing that I never intended to buy anyway.
Right.
So I like that he thinks about it that way. I do think that I just every time we've talked to him, including when we've had conversations off the air, I think this is a guy who has examined the psychology of why people do what they do and why they make the mistakes they make. I know that, you know, Landry and John will get on him about making these Silicon Valley references at times. I think the stuff that he pulls from some of the business analysis, including what he would have learned when he was in business out of college, is like you learn about your blind spots and you learn how to evaluate where you as a person or as a business have made mistakes before and why did those mistakes happen. So I think all of that look, ultimately he's got to win football games.
Yes.
He's just got to flat out win football games. But I think that sometimes people have a perception of when you start talking about a more analytical general manager, I think there's this perception that there's an arrogance that goes along with it. And I think with Nick, it's been the exact opposite. I think he's certainly confident, but I think that unlike an arrogant person, I think Nick completely and totally understands like human fallibility and that we're all subject to it.
Yeah.
Like every single one of us has blind spots.
No doubt. No doubt. I would say just purely from a standpoint of, okay, he's open for business at 3. What should Texan fans be rooting for? Seth, I think Texan fans should actually be rooting for what they probably would have been rooting for if Davis Mills had not shown himself to be possibly a capable starter in the league, which is they need to be rooting for a couple of these quarterbacks to start blowing up in the draft process, and a couple of these teams that are truly quarterback hungry right now, Carolina, Denver, teams like that, that they start to get a little thirsty and Nick Caserio can play them against each other. Now, maybe one of them feels like they got to move all the way up to 1. To go get that guy. I don't know that any of these quarterbacks are going to do that. This could very well be a draft where the first quarterback goes off the board at like 10, something like that. But if one of those quarterbacks, if multiple of those quarterbacks start to show enough through the draft process to get teams a little QB thirsty, well, then now all of a sudden you're talking about having the 3rd pick and the team wants to move up, and that's great for the Texans. So that's what you need to root for as you're watching the combine and you're watching the scouting reports and you're reading the tea leaves. Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, all quarterbacks. You need to root for them to start to kind of creep their way up the board.
Somebody always goes higher than you expect them to,
especially at that position.
Daniel Jones, for instance. I think that I'm looking at a couple mock drafts just to figure out where Kenny Pickett. I've got one guy going 5th to the Giants, which would be interesting. I think that the biggest thing that I keep seeing whenever we talk about the Texans trading back in the first round and then potentially also getting first round picks from a trade for Deshaun Watson, the biggest concern I see brought up is like, well, hey, but then you got to pay those guys in 4 years. Look, it's a valid point, but I don't think that's as big a deal as you might think. Because for one, it's unlikely that every single one of those first-round picks is going to work out. And if they do, awesome. That's great. If managed the right way, and as long as those guys aren't all at marquee positions, that's still a good problem to have. Because usually if you extend a guy before he becomes a free agent, you're going to end up getting, you know, you'll get him at hopefully a relative discount. Like, Nick Caserio is not going to be like Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien did the exact opposite. He was giving guys contracts before they were free agents and giving them, like, actual free agent contracts.
Right.
Usually there's a little give and take. Like, hey, it's a year before free agency. We're going to give you a deal. I'm talking about your younger players, you know, like your Nick Martins.
Yeah. Zach Cunningham.
Zach Cunningham.
Yeah.
Usually there's a little give and take where, like, hey, look, we'll extend you right now. You know, we're not going to give you a top 3 contract. because you're not a free agent. You can get, if you want that, you can go ahead and go to free agency. But no, O'Brien just said, oh, it's too much time, too much time, too much headache. I'm just going to give you as much money as possible.
Yeah, when they weren't even guys who, by their level of play, deserved to be paid there, even in free agency if they'd gotten there. You know what I mean? Like, the market would not have dictated that that's what Nick Martin, Zach Cunningham, Kymie Fairbairn, that's what those guys would have gotten. Okay, someone says, if we get three first-rounders, we'll have to pay them all at the same time in 4 years. Okay, can I just tell you, this would be a tremendous problem to have.
Right,
if you had three first-round picks that were all worth keeping on a second contract, I will happily deal with that issue. Happily.
Right. And I think, though, where people have an understandable knee-jerk reaction to that, there are a couple things. One was that you had the Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt dynamic, where people brought that up, like, hey, you just gave J.J. Watt $100 million,
right,
and you're about to pay him. Like, what do you do when you get Jadeveon Clowney comes?
$200 million to your two defensive ends. What is that? Yeah.
Right. So there is, I mean, if they are at a marquee position, and you know what, Bill O'Brien did not give Clowney the contract that he wanted, and that would have been a mistake if he had. So kudos to Bill O'Brien for that. I still think they could have engineered that whole process a lot better than they actually did, but he at least didn't overspend on that. I think that people are also, they go back to like, oh yeah, I remember when Matt Stafford and Ndamukong Suh and Calvin Johnson were all number one or number two of our old draft picks,
yes,
and what a mess that was. That was a problem because the CBA was all out of whack back then, and rookies got paid like to an extreme degree.
They got paid like free agents.
Yeah, it's not as much of an issue if you, because remember, everybody, the Texans do not have a bunch of other first round picks on their roster
right
now, because they only had one first round pick over the course of 4 years.
Right.
So it's not like the Texans have vastly less talent than your average NFL team. If those first round picks all work out, that's still just getting you back up to par, and if you got to pay some of those guys, then so be it. It's not going to break the bank.
What did Nick Caserio learn from firing David Culley, and is there a different criteria this time around in choosing a head coach? You'll hear from the Texans GM next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joined Seth and myself a little earlier in the show, about 2 hours ago. It'll be up on the podcast, Payne and Pendergast podcast. Download that bad boy. Get on the subscription list. Give us a 5-star review. Keep our podcast numbers popping. We've got really good podcast numbers. Be part of that, the movement, the Payne and Pendergast movement.
Us youngsters out here.
Yeah.
For all you old folks out there.
Out here on the streets.
Podcasts are where it's at. Just sign up for a podcast platform.
That's it.
And subscribe.
You got
please.
It, baby. You got it. Here was Nick Caserio earlier in the show when we asked him, what did you learn from the hiring and firing of David Culley?
Anytime you make a decision like that, it's never easy. I would say specific to David, it's always difficult to let, I would say, really good people that you develop a relationship with over the course of the year. So we made the hire last year because we felt that was the best thing for our organization at the time. In the end, it didn't work out, I would say, the way any of us, would have hoped after a year. It's not one thing. It's not one particular thing. I'd say, there's multiple reasons. I'd rather not get into anything too specifically. I think there's some things generally we can discuss. But, in the end, my responsibility to the organization is to make the decisions that I feel are best for our football operation and organization as a whole. And you don't enter something and go into something on a short-term basis and think, okay, after a year, you're going to have to make a change. Like, what you have to do, you have to be very purposeful throughout the year and at the end of the year. And, if you get to a point where there's things where maybe you see a little bit differently, you have to have discussions about that. And ultimately, my responsibility is to make the decisions that are best for the organization. So that's what I did, and that's what we did, last week.
It's a big hire coming up here for Nick Caserio. You followed up, Seth, to that with asking Nick about the criteria. Is the criteria different this time around in finding your next head coach than it was when you hired David Culley a year ago? Yep.
I think just organizationally and where we were last January, to your point, you know, we were at a different point. I'd say there's a lot of things swirling around. I think we're in a better situation, candidly, than we were last year on a lot of different levels. And I mentioned this last week. I mean, David has a lot to do with that for the stability and the consistency and the leadership that he brought to our building on a day-to-day basis. So, so we'll recalibrate here. We're working through that process right now. I would say criteria, it's a very general term. And what are you looking for? There's never one particular thing that you're looking for. But I would say just where the building is, where the team is. You know, there's been a lot of turnover on the team. I think going back to the spring, you know, even when I first came on with y'all, you know, when we put the team together, we kind of understood we were going to be high-volume signing team. We didn't have a lot of draft assets. So, and a lot of players were on, you know, 1 to 2 year deals, which everybody had seen. You know, the biggest commitment that we made was the Cam Johnston, you know, on a multi-year basis. So we were just trying to bring in a number of different players, give them the opportunity, feel as competitive a team as possible, with the idea that maybe out of that group we would be able to maintain some of those players for next year, which in some cases, you know, we've been able to do. So we have 31, 32 players that aren't under contract for next year. So we certainly have a lot of work on the player acquisition front. But I think there's definitely, I'd say, interest league-wide, interest from our own players in potentially returning. And then when you look at our draft situation and draft capital, we're in a better position today than we were a year ago. So it's not perfect. We still have a lot of work to do. We still have a long road in front of us. But I think we're moving in the right direction, and we're able to at least put a foundation in place that everybody at least has an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. Now it's our responsibility to kind of take a next step here from, you know, year one to year two.
I think that's a long way of saying yes. The criteria is different. He answered the question, is the criteria different for the head coach, by laying out how different it is in the building over there this year as opposed to this time last year.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they were going to be in a high turnover state, and that I think that people shy away from reset or talk like that, and understandably so. And I think that I think they hired Culley for a specific set of circumstances, which at that time included maybe just trying to pull Deshaun Watson back into the fold. And from what, you know, from what Deshaun Watson had said publicly, I think that Cal McNair and perhaps Jack Easterby, who are the two most influential guys who were on the team and watched the 2020 season unfold, when Deshaun Watson said publicly that we need a different culture shift, or what have you, I think that I wonder if just Cal and Jack Easterby assumed that Deshaun was talking about Bill O'Brien, when maybe Deshaun Watson was talking about Jack Easterby. And maybe Jack Easterby knew that, maybe he doesn't. Maybe I'm completely off base here. But I do feel like at least part of the Culley hire would have been that you're trying to pull Deshaun Watson back into the fold. And hey, Culley's the opposite of what Bill O'Brien was. So I think that if that was the thinking, then you're errant on two things. One is that you don't know for sure that Deshaun really had an issue with the way Bill O'Brien actually conducted things and ran things. I think Deshaun was talking a whole lot about the stuff that happened in the 13 weeks after Bill O'Brien was fired.
Yes.
In terms of the way the organization was run. Two, I guess it's that, hey, positivity is great, and that, always moving ahead, always attacking thing with a grin on your face, that's a great attitude to have. Like, you know, Pete Carroll has that. But Pete Carroll also has a lot of other things that David Culley does not. And I think that positive attitude can only go so far if you don't really have a lot of substance behind it. And Pete Carroll and a few other coaches that are known for being pretty positive, like, they've got a lot of substance behind it, where Culley does not. So if they made a mistake with the Culley hiring, even if it was probably meant just to be more of a short-term fix, I think they kind of set their sights too low. And they cared a little too much about a couple personality traits compared to the overall picture.
Well,
and there's a whole lot of speculation I just gave.
Of course. No, but I would add one thing to that, Seth, which is we don't know who actually would have taken this job a year ago.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think part of, as you lay that out and I start thinking, part of Nick Caserio's answer to your question about criteria, laying out, hey, man, we're in better shape salary cap wise. We've got draft picks this year. We've got a bunch of guys that 31 guys entering free agency, some of whom want to be back here, some of whom we want to bring back here, all of those things. I think part of what he's doing as well there is painting a picture like, hey, this may be a job that more people actually want to take this time around than a year ago. You know, the criteria may have more to do with guys wanting this job this time around as opposed to last year, when I think it would have been very easy for good coaches to take a look at this job and go, whew, I'm going to be a sacrificial lamb if I walk. I'm walking into a 2-15 record to start my career with nothing to feel good about coming out of that year. Now, the fact that they've come out of this year actually feeling good about Davis Mills and the rookie class, and you know, maybe they move on from Deshaun, I think those are things that you hang your hat on a little bit. But I it was a long answer to say yes, it's a different criteria because we think we got a better shot at a different kind of coach this time around.
What do you think about a guy like Leslie Frazier or Lovie Smith or, I don't know, Wade Phillips, like somebody who had head coaching experience, if they'd been offered that same amount of money? I guess I'm impressed, if that is the case, I'm impressed that many guys would just turn down $22 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Other than that, that still, in some respects, was less than what the average NFL contract is going for a head coach right now. So they would have felt like perhaps that's not enough of a commitment. And yet, I guess it's that bad of a situation that they're also not going to accept something that's probably like their last big paycheck ever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not completely convinced there weren't more qualified people that were willing to take that job.
Maybe. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Here was the, we just played in the previous segment, Nick Caserio's answer to our question about, are you open for business to trade down from number three? That was, we gave you kind of a chopped up answer because in the middle of the answer, he had to drop his kids off at school. Here's the uncensored version. Are you open for business on moving that third overall pick?
Absolutely. Always open for business. You never want to limit yourself to Hey, girls, have a good day at school. Sorry, I'm playing a pinch hitter. My wife is on the DL, so I got to get the girls to school. But that's
okay, no problem, Nick.
Sean, it's a fair point. I think, you know, I've always been open-minded.
All right, there you go. You hear the door slam. I thought something was about to happen, Seth, when after absolutely, I hear the sound of a door opening with the car. Like, all right, he's getting pulled over. He's getting out at work. Nope. You can hear in the background, you can hear his daughter like, bye, Dad.
Yeah, it was so that was nice. I think that was why.
Human touch.
Yeah. We had Ross Tucker on earlier. He was getting in and out of vehicles the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that kind of a,
I think it says a lot about us that guys are willing to, you know, in that quality commute time, they're willing to talk to me and you.
It says a lot about us that they're not willing to carve out any actual, like, valuable time in their,
see?
In, I thought it was in a their day to actually talk to us. Yeah.
You know who carves out time to talk to us? Larry and Stafford. Larry, you are up on Payne and Pendergast. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I'm going to get to the Nick Caserio interview last because I got some real interesting takes on that. But last night in that Rams and Cardinals game, I was openly rooting for the Rams to win because I know J.J. and DeAndre is on that team. But just like I did when the Ravens had Vontae Leach and Jacoby Jones, I didn't want them to get Super Bowl rings, man. I'm a Texan fan, and I wanted them to win rings with the Texans. So last night I was happy that the Rams won and that, you know, the Cardinals didn't get one because I think that Cliff Kingsbury has always been a little bit overrated to me, and he don't look like that dude that was sitting in that nice-ass house with that white sweater on looking all fly. He looked like his ass been run through a ringer over there, man. He looked like he had aged a little bit, man. So I was okay with them getting their ass handed to them. Hey, a couple things on Nick Caserio. today was one of the first time that I didn't feel like Nick Caserio was talking to me as if I was working over at One Apple Parkway in Cupertino, California. If you don't know what that is, that's the address to Apple or Google. He seemed like he was like me, just happy that season that he just suffered through was over. And so he seemed human. He seemed like he was willing to go a little deeper than those other robotic answers that he had been giving us for the last year and a half. Let me touch on Deshaun Watson real quick in lieu of what Nick said. Maybe, just maybe, Deshaun Watson was still trying to get over that 24-point loss in Kansas City in 2019. And then we had a season in 2020 where the whole thing fell off the cliff. And so then maybe, you know, Deshaun was saying, you know, I'm a winner. I want to win. And I want to be in a culture that's conducive to winning. And so maybe Nick is starting to see, because I don't know if y'all heard, he didn't say I'm trading. He still hasn't said I'm trading Deshaun. Mm-hmm. All I heard him say is no, or something's, we're open. So until he actually says that or whatever, Seth, I don't give a damn what book you reading about assuming, but I ain't assuming a damn thing. because Nick could change his mind on your ass, man. So I understand it. Because Nick is in the mindset of a winner, man. He comes from a culture, whether they cheated up there to win or not, they ass won 5 Super Bowls or whatever. So I'm willing to give Nick the benefit of the doubt. And it would have been a lot easier, because I want people to truly understand, I do not hate Jack Easterby. I don't hate him as a person. I don't know him. I've never met him. I hate what Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien did to my franchise. Mm-hmm. And that's a completely different thing for me. I can compartmentalize that. And I think Nick would have had an easier role if he had got rid of Jack at that time, because that was just like me seeing David Johnson every single day. It's a reminder. But if they're not going to do it, we have no power on whatever Cal decides to do with Easterby over there or whatever. But if Nick Caserio can get this thing right, I think a lot of Texans fans will be a lot happier. Mm-hmm. And when he said that he's open for business and trading the third pick, it took me to the mindset that if he's open to trading the third pick, why the hell does he want the 5th and 7th pick from the Giants for Deshaun or whatever? So I'm just intrigued by what his thought process is. I think a couple of things. I'd like him a lot more if he was about 50 pounds heavier, because I like bigger dudes. I like dudes that look like they like to eat barbecue and like to eat, you know, some boudin and stuff like that. I like dudes like that like to eat wings and put the bones in a separate plate. I also think Nick would be better, you know, he's starting to say y'all a little bit more. Yeah. Get rid of that damn sweater vest. Do some things. Do some Texas type stuff. Put on some cowboy boots. Put on a Stetson or something. And I probably like him a lot better.
He's kind of got that wiry physique of a bull rider. Like, I could see him with, like, a bulletproof vest on and a cowboy hat.
Totally.
I think maybe the rodeo is when Caserio might truly become, I don't want to call him truly a Texan. Like, I don't want to insult native born Texans, but at the very least, like, you know, maybe like, one of the Bush family, you know, like not originally from Texas, but close enough.
He'll never be originally from Texas. I can live with that. But if you do some things that Texan folks like to do, drink you a little sweet tea every now and then. I don't like tea, but drink some of it anyway. Do something that we can relate to and make us feel like you're not a walking robot. That's what we're believing in. That's what we want you to be a part of. Because if you're going to be a part of the solution, then you got to include all of us in this solution. And as a diehard Texan fan, I'm telling you, Sean, I've been dying to come back home, because these 3 years has been miserable to me. Mm-hmm. But I think if they can figure this thing out, man, they'll get a lot of us back. I know that was kind of long-winded, fellas. But I appreciated that interview this morning with Nick because, again, like I said, that was the first time he seemed human to me in our home.
All right, thanks, Larry. We appreciate the phone call. No, I'm cool with giving you that kind of space, because I think you represent a voice in a sector of the fan base that needs to be won back. And I think a sector of the fan base that probably took issue with maybe the way Nick had answered some things early on, maybe throughout in press conferences, his time as GM, he was, I thought he was as candid as he's been earlier today with us. I'm sure if you missed it, you can get it on the podcast. You can get it on the Odyssey app, the rewind feature available to you. I would suggest tuning in the remainder of the day. In the Loop, Clint Sterner and the show, they'll be sprinkling in plenty of Casario throughout the afternoon. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you. I could not get Nick to admit that Tom Brady is now his sworn enemy today. That'll be in the next interview.
Next time.
I'll get him to admit it next time.
Baby steps.
He said never.
Baby steps.
I'll work at it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think he knows the meaning of never. That's what I learned right there.
Yeah.
All right. We're done. In the Loop is up next. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., everybody.
I listen to a lot of articles, Nick, and it's not because I can't read. I can totally read.
Nick Casario.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.